We kind of bought the cheapest tickets we could get in.
Yeah.
The place.
And we wouldn't trade them for the world.
Welcome to A More Philly Slunion, the podcast where on bye weeks, we sometimes talk about one of the few other MLS teams who are not our rivals yet. We are your hosts. I'm C.
I'm E.
And I'm Paul.
Oh, that's going to be a worm. Slunion. Oh, man.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
Did you mispronounce it? Should it actually be like Stalunion?
Stalunion. My name is Sven.
I play. It'll all make sense. It's all going to come together. I promise. Welcome to the pod. E, let's talk about our download numbers.
Yeah, and our Help Us Help the Union challenge. Guys, great work this week. Maybe it's because we got linked and forwarded and all that good social media stuff by Philadelphia Soccer Now and the Brotherly Game.
Thank you.
Yes, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
We really appreciate spreading the word of our humble little podcast here. But we had over 120 downloads this week.
Whoa.
That is factor of like three times greater than any previous week. Maybe two, but still, biggest week ever of downloads. So thank you to Philly Soccer Now and Brotherly Game. And thank you to all of our new listeners. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully you'll stick around. Hopefully you'll be part of this. Yeah, thanks. Big week. So
appreciate you giving us a try even once.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, so, thank you so much.
So let's keep it going.
Okay.
Tell your friends. Stay in school.
Well, no match news to talk about this week, but we did want to mention that Matt Real was loaned to USL side Colorado Springs through the rest of the season, just I guess a little bit of a surprise, although we really haven't seen him on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they want to get him game time, and with Wagner, Ariel, and Mbizo splitting the time on those outside defense positions. Yeah. He's kind of the fourth person on that line. And so it makes sense to give him an opportunity to get some playing time. I think, I'm not sure, I have to double check, but he might be the third oldest of those four. So, you know, he's kind of, he wants to develop, he wants to continue growing and get an opportunity, and hopefully getting some game time there will maybe make them interesting for the Union to possibly transfer or give a shot if they transfer out one of their other outside backs.
Good luck to him, because he's always been pretty solid for us. So
yeah,
hopefully maybe we'll see him back.
Yeah,
maybe
hopefully.
We'll see him somewhere else. But all the best, whatever happens there. Just jumping into upcoming games, we have game versus RSL, which E commented to me like, you never hear of Real Salt Lake anymore. And then we looked at the schedule and guess who we were playing next? Real Salt Lake.
Yeah.
So that is this coming Saturday, the 27th at 7:30 p.m. And then after that, we have the makeup match on Tuesday, the 30th. Against Seattle. That was a match that was rained out so torrentially earlier this season. We did get a bye week, but two in quick succession. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
On average, I guess we're keeping the regular pace, but this is going to be a quick turnaround here between these two games.
Very. And then some NWSL games coming up at Subaru Park. Paul, you have a little more information on that.
Yeah, just the it looks like while the MLS men's teams are playing Liga MX games or teams in the, what are they calling, Leagues Cup or whatever in July, August timeframe, the NWSL will be similarly playing a summer cup against Liga Mexican teams. So the Union are hosting two NWSL games on one on July 21st, where Washington Spirit will be taking on Chivas. And then on the 28th, where Gotham FC is coming to play Washington Spirit. So it's not the first NWSL games played there. They did play a game, Gotham versus Spirit, back in 2021 when Carly Lloyd was playing one of her last matches for the club. And it was kind of a hometown farewell for her. So these are two more NWSL games, could it mean that Philly might eventually get a women's team? Who knows? It would be cool. But, definitely a chance to get out and see some really good soccer on those games.
Absolutely.
And we did have a team at one point. Where they were the Independents, I think, was the women's team. But this is before NWSL. But, hopefully that omission will be addressed.
Absolutely. So we have with the bye week, a special episode today, an interview with some family members who are also St. Louis fans. And we thought it'd be interesting to talk to them about having a new team and some of the experiences they've had around that. Before we get to that, I just wanted to quickly run through our socials and how you can get in touch with us if you want to do that. Our website is amorephillyunion.com. Email is pod@amorephillyunion.com. On Instagram, YouTube, and Threads, we are amorephillyunion. And on Twitter, amorephillyu. We have our Spotify playlist under Amore Philly Union, the playlist. trust me, you'll know the difference. You can find it easily. And you can get our podcast wherever you get yours. We're everywhere. So with that, I'll turn it over to the interview.
Tonight, we're really happy to welcome two very special guests to the pod. Soccer, as we know, is a passion that creates and unites families, and tonight is no exception. Hailing all the way via Zoom from the great city of St. Louis, a city that exemplifies that persistent pays off and that toasted can have multiple culinary meetings, we want to welcome our guests, Mel and Jim.
Yay!
You guys are officially our second interview guests.
A great honor. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
We're excited. We really are. Nice to talk to some experienced MLS fans here. We're still a bit green over here.
Well, we couldn't book them, so you guys will just have to deal with us.
Okay, cool.
I think it's worth mentioning that Mel is a cousin to Paul and I, and Jim is our collective now, our cousin-in-law. So, welcome to the podcast. We're really happy to have you guys with us.
People are probably wondering why we've asked them to be on a podcast, but, we do appreciate, one of the things that we've been exchanging messages back and forth with is, Philly is still a relatively young team in MLS comparatively. We weren't one of the foundings, and you guys got to experience the founding of your own club.
Yeah.
So we wanted to kind of, while it's still fresh in your mind, we wanted to get you on and talk with you about the inaugural season and all of the activity that you guys have had there in St. Louis.
Yeah, I hope you guys have a few hours because we could talk forever.
Yeah,
he doesn't mind editing.
Yeah, I can stay up pretty late. It's no problem. Well, let's jump into that. So actually, before we jump into St. Louis's remarkable, and that's putting it mildly first season. Let's just start with kind of a question we've asked ourselves. Kind of when did you guys first start getting into soccer? Was it as kids or how did soccer come into your lives?
Well, for me, my dad was always big into soccer. He played a lot when even I was young with, friends and a men's club, and all my siblings played soccer growing up from a young age. That and baseball, St. Louis.
Well, St. Louis.
Those were the two main sports I played growing up. And I know Mel played too. I, wasn't good enough to really play into high school or afterwards. played on a couple, you know, nighttime indoor leagues with friends. Mel played into high school and certainly would probably run circles around me today.
Yeah, I like to think that I peaked in eighth grade. my soccer career peaked for sure. I was definitely like one of the better ones on the team, and that was fun to be. I think high school was a much different rude awakening. Mm-hmm. Still had a lot of fun. And I played in through high school, and it was just always something that I enjoyed. Enjoyed doing. It was something I did with my dad a lot and talked about. And so, yeah, it was always a part of my life. And we would go to what's that team's name? I should know this.
But... The Ambush or the Steamers?
No. Well, we would go to the Steamers. No,
St. Louis FC.
St. Louis FC. So yeah. They are in a lower league. But we used to go out to their games, and even those were fun to go to. Needless to say, we were all very excited for a soccer team to come here.
Yeah.
Soccer team.
I think St. Louis FC, right? Their colors were blue and green.
Yeah. And navy. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a good logo too. They had a good.
Yeah. Is that the Florida Lee, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was maybe St. Louis. I mean, yeah. This one is too, but yeah.
We have that scarf too.
We do have that scarf.
I don't even have one of those.
Yeah, that was another quick run out while we were down there.
Yeah, they ended up folding shortly before City came into the MLS, kind of as a planned transition. It did upset a lot of, you know, hardcore fans here.
Yeah. Imagine.
But you know, it was, you know, replaced a little bit with an MLS club, which I'm sure healed some wounds. But the hardcore fans definitely, you know, put up a bit of a fight for that. I've got this old STLFC hat in the back of the closet that nice. Was, you know, rarely worn, and now is a relic that everyone's jealous of when I've got out of it.
You need to put it in one of those plexiglass cases.
No longer used for painting.
No.
Yeah, sure. Your bona fides, right? When you walk in wearing that, like, exactly. This guy's OG.
Gotta show us. Yeah, gotta show them some of that.
Mel, what position did you play? Tend to play.
I was left footed, so I played like left wing, either forward or midfield.
Okay.
Kind of fluctuated between the two.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I had one really really cool goal where I don't know if this is legal in the MLS, but I scored from the corner.
Yep, you can do that.
Can you do that? For some reason, I thought
Roberto Carlos. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was in high school, and it was, I mean, still to this day, I know exactly where I was when I scored that goal. My dad could definitely tell you the same. It was. I mean, it was on the JV team too. Like, you know, nothing fancy, but
yeah, that's a cool story. My favorite one's when your dad had to kick off the refs when you forgot your CYC card.
Yeah. Wait, I said I peaked in eighth grade, and that's true because we played CYC, which is the Catholic League. Mm-hmm. And we went to City County playoffs, which is a very St. Louis thing as well.
Big deal at St. Louis.
The city Catholic schools play the county Catholic schools.
Okay.
And I was an important asset on our team, and my CYC card had the wrong birth date on it, and they weren't going to let me play in the championship game.
What?
My dad slipped him a 20 and I got in. And we lost, and we did not win the CYC championship, but pretty story came out of it.
Uncle Dennis.
Is your dad still working for FIFA?
Now we're hosting the World Cup.
It's full circle. Wow, that's an awesome story. Jim, when did, this is going to go off a little topic, but yeah, rugby, because I know you played rugby for a while. And
yeah. Yeah.
Which is, it's like, it's soccer for people who like football. That's how I always think of it.
And you know what surprises a lot of people is some of the best players I came with started with soccer or were really quality soccer players.
Really?
Because they are good at running in the open field. and just have stamina to run for the entire game.
Yeah.
I got into rugby in college at St. Louis University. It was honestly what it was my buddies just that I was, you know, already drinking with on the weekends. Finally were able to drag me to a couple games and practices. And I loved it. Rugby was great. I'm not exactly the ideal size for rugby. You know, 5'6" and 140 pounds is not the most intimidating guy across the pitch. But that didn't stop me from trying. And we had a pretty good team at SLU. We were the only non-scholarship team to make the Sweet 16 senior year. And it was just fun traveling all around. And there's a lot of men's clubs in St. Louis. St. Louis is a big hub for rugby as well. So, you know, for, you know, five years or so after college, I played with a men's club too.
Wow. That's really cool. So you guys traveled and everything.
It was okay. Our coach purchased a prison bus off of Facebook Marketplace and we painted it and put a kegerator in. And that was our travel.
Oh my God.
That sounds like a rugby bus.
Yeah. It was a rugby bus.
Sport of Kings.
Between the behavior and the injuries, I've never been so happy to have met Jim after he finished his rugby days.
Yeah.
Do you have any cauliflower ear there?
Oh no.
No. Luckily, I was a dainty wing or fullback, and I stayed out of the scrums if I could.
Yeah, that's.
Did you not hear the 5'6", 140 pounds? They wouldn't put him in the scrum there. He would be a speed bump.
Yeah.
Either that or I don't know. I always thought they were intimidated by it, but yeah, that's probably it.
You know, it's bad.
Not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog, right, Jim?
That's right, Paul.
Okay. Well, to kind of maybe bridge the gap now between St. Louis and Philly. So Mel, you did some school up here in Philly for a couple of years. And in particular, you were here for, hold on, which championship was it? It was for the Eagles, right?
Mm-hmm. Eagles, yep.
So I don't know, how does a Philly championship stack up against like a St. Louis championship? I'm going to guess fewer burning cars, but go ahead.
And greased poles. Fewer grease balls.
Yeah. Let's see. What championships have I been in St. Louis for? The World Series in 2011.
Well, the Blues, if you were here.
The Blues, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably it. Now, okay. So I'm gonna brag for a second.
Sure.
We're talking about championships in St. Louis. In 2011, the Cardinals won the World Series. Spoiler alert. And a friend of mine had some really good tickets. Her dad did to the whole series. And so it was between my one friend and I, who was going to go to game 6 and who was going to go to the game 7. If there was one. Series was tied 3-2. Yeah. 3-2 at this point.
We were down 3-2.
Yeah.
In game 6.
And so I said, you can go to game 7. I'll go to game 6. And that's the best game in Cardinals history, I would say, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys know what game 6 was like of the 2011 World Series?
If you're in St. Louis, all you have to say is game 6.
There's a bar here called game 6 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the one where David Freese scored Lance Berkman and Albert Pujols in the bottom of the ninth with 2 outs and 2 strikes.
And we would lose the World Series this
year. Right.
Yep, he hit a triple off the wall with 2 strikes in the last out of the game. And then
tied it.
We, of course, gave up a run in the top of the 10th. And then the next inning, the 2 innings later in the bottom of the 11th, he hit a 2-run home run to win the game.
So we came back twice in this game. Man. In extra innings. Or maybe
he tied it up in the bottom of the 10th.
It was
that's the
and then he hit a walk-off not a home run, but yeah, no, it was just a hit that scored a run, I think.
No, no, the, game six, he hit the walk-off.
It was a home run?
Center field, yeah.
Maybe one of those was just a, yeah, it doesn't matter. But it was like a...
He was a stud that series, though.
Ninth inning, 10th inning, 11th inning, like back and forth. And we won that game. And we celebrated like we had just won the World Series. Yeah. Absolutely. I was hugging.
And then game seven, they had no shot.
It was a blowout. They had such momentum from that game.
Yeah.
And it was in St. Louis. There was no question about it. So that game six has gone down in history, in St. Louis history, at least. I see it hasn't made it quite to the East Coast yet.
Not yet.
I'll remember that, like, if I'm ever driving through St. Louis and you get stopped by a cop, I was like, man, game six, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I can't promise you're getting out of that ticket, but you're at least getting a, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. But compared to Philly, I would say when the Eagles won, that was just, I was older so I could experience it more, but mm-hmm. that was truly one of the, that probably is my top night in Philly, I would say. Few things made it fun. First of all, Bridget and Matt happened to be in town.
Oh, that's right. They were here too.
Yeah, they just happened to come in town, and it was so funny leading up to it. I was like, hey, Bridget, there's a pretty big football game on this weekend, and you're not into sports. So she's like, okay, whatever. I was like, you are going to be in town for Super Bowl weekend, and we're going to have to probably watch the game, and like, we're going to have to make a plan. Like, it's the Super Bowl, and the Phillies
Absolutely.
Are in it. Phillies in it, you know? So she was just like kind of blowing it off. Come Sunday, I mean, because we had been buzzing around the city all weekend and the city was just electric, you know, just the buzz of a championship coming or, you know, big game coming. And we see them greasing the poles downtown. I mean, we really did experience it firsthand. And before too long, we've all had tattoos on our faces, t-shirts off the corner. Yeah, and so then we found this little hole in the wall bar in Center City, and it was Bridget and Matt, Kayleen, mm-hmm. and then two of my grad school friends, and we watched the ups and the downs of that game and celebrated running into Broad Street at the end of it, and mm-hmm. that was a feeling like no other. It was
like a lifelong fan at that
point. Yeah, it was the most fun to be a bandwagon fan. And
hey, when you're winning the Super Bowl, you welcome bandwagon fans with open arms.
That's right. There's plenty of room.
Everyone's a fan against New England, so it's like,
yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was incredible. So as far as celebrations go, Philly wins. I was way more invested in the Cardinals, but sure. I probably had more fun celebrating.
Right.
You're a very gracious guest. Did you actually go to the parade? Did you, or did you?
No, just the celebration literally the night that. Yep.
I think I got pictures.
If we had met before the Blues championship in 2019, that I would have dragged her there.
I was at the parade for the Blues.
Oh, okay.
Right. And it was fun. Yeah. My heart wasn't as invested in the Blues as some other sports, but
yeah,
I've come a long way.
What was this? What was the song for the Blues that year?
That has Philly roots too.
Yeah, I think they started playing it when they beat the Flyers that one night. Yeah.
That's right.
They were at a club in South Philly.
They were at a club called Jack's, I think, or
I actually went there. Afterwards,
yeah,
and they were, it was one of those private clubs,
and
you know?
And I remember, yeah, because that bar started playing the Blues Stanley Cup games and became like a hub for people that wanted to go support the Blues in the Stanley Cup just because of the song and the bar. The players told the story about going to that bar and like they were on a huge losing streak, and the one. You know,
losing streak, come play the Flyers.
We were in last place.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So thanks, guys.
Yeah.
And we came back. Paul's kind of curling up right now as a Flyers fan. I can
see body him. Blows like, keep yeah. coming.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into kind of one of the big talking points is St. Louis's first year. I mean, I can speak on behalf of the Paul and C here that we were big fans. I mean, not just because of the family connection, but the St. Louis first year story was just unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have any the lead up to the beginning of that season. Just real quick, I know that St. Louis, we've talked about it, was always the bridesmaid, never the bride when it came toward getting an expansion team. There were several years where you guys were right there and all of a sudden someone else is getting a team. Charlotte's getting a team or whatever. And not disparaging those cities, but it's like, when is St. Louis going to get their team?
Right.
And then you guys finally got your team. So I don't know. So what was the run up to the beginning of that season? Just what was it like?
Well, yeah, like you said, we'd been hearing for over a decade about, you know, we're getting the next MLS team, and St. Louis is a huge hotbed for soccer.
Absolutely.
There are, you know, multiple players on the national team from St. Mm-hmm. Louis, lots of good academy clubs. Everybody and their mother, when they were a kid, played for some sort of team growing up in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was but what ended up everyone really, you know, came to the same conclusion of is we were glad that we got passed over so many times because it helped build the, you know, the energy for it. Mm-hmm. And it gave the people that were, you know, in the inner workings of working to get a club to St. Louis, it gave them time to really build their ideas and bounce it off the community and do it the right way. Because one thing that we have said and everyone has said is this club really feels like it was built the right way. With, you know, good people from the top down and with vision, good vision for the club in the future and, you know, good connectivity to the academy team and mm-hmm. City 2. But like going up to the first game, there was, you know, the first couple of years before the game, they started the day. I remember the day at 10 a.m. They released the season tickets.
There you go. Yeah.
And they got 50,000 deposits for season
tickets. Wow. That has got to be a record.
Can we hold
22?
Yeah.
22 and a half, maybe. and even now, after, you know, this is into our second year, there's currently over 60,000 people on the wait list for season tickets.
Wow.
Wow.
So
we got lucky that we got
we got really lucky. Yeah. We really did. We just were on the, you know, on the phones at the right time. My dad and I both were using like three phones trying to call. And luckily one of us got on and the team was great towards, you know, community outreach and whether it's, you know, local bars or businesses that are well known in the community. Just really kind of building the excitement for that first year.
Yeah, they watch parties all over the city. I mean, because that speaks to how many people want to be at the game and can't. Which, you know, we've talked about the size of the stadium. That's a tangent, but like, you know, and who does it allow to come to the games?
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole aside. But it's cool because they'll have watch parties all over the city where they'll sponsor a bar to show it. Because, you know, it is on Apple TV and not a lot of bars carry that.
Yeah,
right.
So they do make an effort to, like, I don't know, make it fun in other areas. And they do a lot of stuff outside before the games. But yeah, no, the lead up was certainly exciting. And the only other thing I'd say that was kind of interesting was we got an extra bonus year to plan things because of COVID. So we got pushed back a whole year. But you want to talk about how the coach brought everyone in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So all the players that had been signed for planning to start playing in the 2022 season, the club brought all of them to St. Louis. And they had them all come and travel and practice and train for that whole year. Just as if they were coming to play in the league. Wow. Just the league shut down. They were playing with City 2. They were playing with, you know, they were getting them involved in the academy and the youth teams. And getting them comfortable with St. Louis. So, you know, they weren't arriving to a new team, to a new city, 2 months before the season starts.
Wow.
Right. So it's really cool to, you know, see the players and, you know, the social media team sharing everything, kind of become a little bit more ingrained to the city. And it wasn't as much of a whiplash for everyone to say, like, oh, look, who are all these players? I mean, like, certainly we didn't know 90% of the players' names before the first game. And it was actually really fun to start learning who our favorite players were.
From scratch, you know,
from scratch.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
And, you know, everyone talked mess on having your goaltender as your big DP signing. And yeah, it looks like that worked out, but
yeah,
we'll see. One season isn't the whole story.
Well, at least with respect to the goalkeeper, Philly would be, we're in step with you, right? I mean, not necessarily with the DP, but Blake was our first round draft pick as a, you know, a goalkeeper, not very common.
And,
not only the first round, but the overall first pick.
Yes.
And he's the only goalkeeper who's ever been picked with the very first pick.
Yeah.
And how old is he?
Well, now he's 33.
Wow. So he's been with you guys. Wow.
Yeah, this is his 10th year with the team.
Yeah.
Okay. How's he doing?
He won goalkeeper of the year last year. Yeah. And except for a couple of unfortunate injuries this year, he's been doing very well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Did
he get it twice? I think he might have gotten it.
He's the only one to have won it three times.
Three times.
Oh, wow.
For the year.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We need a goal. No.
I mean, Berkey.
Goalkeeper. No? He won for the Western Conference.
Oh, I was like, I swear Berkey won that.
they had Western and Eastern.
Got it.
Yeah, we're still brushing up on our MLS history.
You got time.
Yeah. In our mind, St. Louis is the best team of all time.
Listen, I just learned a whole team in a year and a whole sport. So it's going to take me a sec to really get to know on other teams, but I'm looking forward to diving deeper into it.
Don't ask us any questions on MLS roster rules.
The best way to learn is just start your own podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't know that about St. Louis bringing the players in the year before to start playing because, you know, it's kind of a prejudice for first year teams. You just see them coming into the league and like, look, that's going to be the team that everyone's just going to beat this season. They just got to pay their dues. They just got to weather that first season. And of course, there's always exceptions. Some teams do better than others. But the way St. Louis was playing, it was kind of like, this is their first year. In some respect, it kind of wasn't. They had already been training and playing for a whole year before their very first MLS game.
Exactly. They had the whole vision of the high press figured out. It sounds, you know, to be a sporting director of a brand new team sounds like a lot of work and crazy, but it also sounds pretty fun if you kind of get to pick out what play style you want to go for the exact coach you want for that. And then, you know, handpick your players from across the world, really, on who might fit that isn't really catching anyone else's eye.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, it certainly wasn't the full team. It was just everyone that we had signed before COVID, or not before. It was, you know, after COVID, I guess, but like that we had already signed. And yeah, it was special. And you, like you said, you could tell kind of right away they came out firing, and they all seemed like they loved each other too, which had a big impact on
it. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, the chemistry was obvious too, I think, which you know, you can't fake the chemistry. You can't buy chemistry.
I guess that we kind of talked about, you know, how we felt going into the season. And it felt the biggest day of the year in St. Louis is St. Louis Cardinals opening day.
Right.
Half the city takes off work. And it's always a day game. So it's always a blast. And the first home city game was the closest thing to St. Louis Cardinals opening day that I've ever experienced that wasn't actually that.
Because
the whole city was downtown, and even if you weren't going to the game, people were coming to the street parties, people were going to the bars around the stadium, and Yeah, I don't care. I don't care who they were playing. You felt like you were going to win that game.
Right.
But let's actually talk about the first home game. You guys were there for their first home game, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Who did you guys play? Not to put you on the spot.
Well, our first game was against Austin. Okay. I can't exactly remember.
Because now I'm like hard pressed. Like, who was the Union's first game? Well, we know who the Union's first game was. Sorry, never mind. It's one of our most oft maligned quotes of it's your team, Philly.
Don't get me started. You don't want to hear it.
Yeah. What helped build up a lot of the excitement for our first home game was that we started our season with three away games and we won all three of them.
That's a good way to start.
And that's pretty exciting when half the pundits or whatever, you know, preseason rankings were saying this team was going to luck into winning six games this year. So we have half of our wins out of the way. Sports radio in St. Louis does not talk about soccer very much, but that week it was all soccer.
Man.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so our season tickets are in the supporter section. And so, I'm sure that there were a lot of soccer fans who knew to do their homework ahead of time. We did not do our homework.
Yeah. We kind of bought the cheapest tickets we could get into
this place. And we wouldn't trade them for the world. No. Maybe in 10 years we'll upgrade them to real seats, but not for a long time.
Quarter section's where it's at in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It is not uncommon for that to be one of the most expensive tickets on the secondary market. Because it's always packed and it's such a good time. It's the entire width of the North End is the supporter section. And there's, five or six official supporter groups that, each have their own, chants and songs. And there's a, giant TIFO or is it mm-hmm. TIFO?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
TIFO.
Still learning, obviously. Huh?
Yeah.
And just learning about, as we're at the game, learning about all these different supporter groups that put all this work into things and
learning the chants. We're bumbling through all the chants first game. I mean, that's what I meant about doing our homework. We did not. But oh my gosh, now I recite them in my sleep, I think. But
yeah. You have
to put a microphone on us that first day. You probably would have heard. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. trying to act like we know what we're doing.
What are some of the good chants? Are there any of them?
We sing Santa Claus is coming to town when Klaus scores a goal.
Oh man.
The best is the Berkey song. It's the
so Berkey's your keeper.
Berkey's our goalkeeper, and we sing the Cranberries Zombie. He's in your head. Berkey. That one's really fun to sing.
Oh, my God. After a couple
big goals or a couple big saves.
I was gonna say it's really fun having our goalie be one of our better players because a big save, we sing this chant and it's like just as exciting as a goal, if not, not more exciting. Okay. Let's be honest, but it's still so exciting. Mm-hmm. If we have a good save.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Again, Andre Blake is our goalkeeper. We know exactly what the big saves feel like.
Really fun having a good keeper.
So, like who's some of your favorite, like, do you guys have like a team favorite, like player or?
We have a favorite personality player that would for sure be Indiana Vasilev.
Okay.
If you ever look at City's Instagram, he is the top player that they're putting in their PR videos. They're like goofy little things.
He's the personality hire.
He's the personality hire for sure. But he's also very reliable and like kind of a
energy. He's got a big motor and he's always fighting and I've never seen him take a play off. But you can also tell he's the mouth in the locker room and probably gets under his own teammate skins a few times, just trying to rile people up a little bit.
Does he draw a lot of yellow cards? Because this is sounding familiar.
He
kind of plays clean.
We Doesn't. Right. He doesn't.
Okay.
Sounds the exact type to draw the yellow card.
Yeah.
I almost think that he pisses his own teammates off in the best way more than the other team.
But who would be an actual, you know, more soccer?
Me, it's for sure Berkey, but somebody that I've, you know, really liked watching this year is Durkin. He was a new acquisition we made from DC this year.
Okay.
For our midfield position. And he's a dog out there. He is he's a guy that will take you down and, you know, maybe get a yellow card for it, but is going to make you rethink going through the middle every time. and when he is running down a ball or running for a 50-50 ball that's in open space, you're just like, oh, man, that guy is running hard. I would not want to try to stop him. And then I guess...
Well, that's kind of a this season one. If we think about our...
Oh, yeah. Rich,
about our, sure, our, either one.
Our top... Our number nine is Joel Klaus. Oh, sorry.
Number nine is Joel Klaus. Yeah.
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 And he's great. He was hurt for a lot of the first season, though. And that is why Nico Giochini got to play so much, which is, you know, a little Easter egg for later on in the conversation, I would imagine.
Put a pin in that one, guys.
We'll circle back to him. But Klaus was a lot of fun to watch in the beginning of the season. He really fired us up from the get-go. Yeah. And this last game, the announcers were telling a story about the coach saying that if Klaus scores a goal, if Klaus is happy, the team's happy, basically. And if Klaus is a little moody, if Klaus is not happy, the team's not doing great. So he kind of sets the tone for us, but most of the time he pulls through. Yeah. He had a little bit of a rough start this year, but...
The finishing just wasn't there this year, and the goals weren't falling. It seemed like he had the Midas touch last year where, you know, in the first six games, he might have had six goals. He might have had seven goals. So he started off to he got off to a slow start this year, but he did score in our last game. And City has never lost a game where Klaus either scores or has an assist. So they really do ride or die with Klaus's success.
That is a stat.
That is.
Holy crow. Wow.
Now that we have, you know, as many more draws already this year than we've had last year. So maybe if he scored a few goals, it's not getting us the points we're hoping for, but it's getting a result, and we're avoiding some early losses that look like they could be, not in as supreme form as we were last year at this point.
Yeah, the Union have gone through their AC Richmond streak of a whole bunch of draws as well. Yeah, so
absolutely,
it happens.
That's right. You guys have are you all undefeated still?
Yep, undefeated.
Wow. Nice.
I think second in draws to the league to City. So you have some work to do there, but.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, if it keeps us undefeated, we'll take it.
Hey, that's you know, I bet their social media team will take it too, so they can keep saying it.
Well, yeah. Our social media team, they've written some checks that I was very much afraid that we're gonna have to get cashed.
Yeah. They don't just tempt it. They court it.
They throw snowballs at it.
Pretty much. So,
yeah. Well, speaking of, I mean, the first season felt like we were playing with house money. We didn't, we,
that's a good way to describe it.
We couldn't cash all the checks we had. Just the unbelievable run. We were all warned of how bad this team was going to be. And we all showed up ready to watch a really bad team. Mm-hmm. And just, we're happy to have soccer in St. Louis. So, you know, just to have that amazing run of a season and having so many goals scored, really, especially at home, and then seeing miraculous save after miraculous save all season was like, we were on cloud nine. We were on cloud nine all year.
Yeah. And
it still is the hottest ticket in St. Louis.
I think I remember watching one of the games, Taylor Twellman saying something to the extent of like, Does this team know that this is supposed to be their first season?
Yeah,
or something along those lines. And Yeah, I mean, someone from the outside, I was just waiting for like, okay, this is going to come to an end eventually. And right. then I think right. like you could probably like pepper throughout all last season in our podcast. It's like, well, St. Louis is in first place in the West. St. Louis is first place in the West. St. Louis is first place in the West.
Yeah, I do have to say though, you know, the high is really fun to ride, but it's a hard crash.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to touch on that.
I do remember some texts.
That is the saddest I have felt in a while.
What are you talking about?
The Colts game of the year losing to Kansas City. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jim blacked out.
It's been blocked out.
Yeah, the weather was very appropriate for how we felt at the end of the game. I had cold feet, wet socks, and we got our butts kicked.
It rained the whole game, and it was 36 degrees.
Not great.
And we played terrible.
Yeah, and we won at home.
Against Kansas City.
That's the thing.
Cross-state rival.
It's we always joke around about the MLS writers, and it's just like, why did they pick that ending? I mean, you guys, it was such a Cinderella story, and now you're up against your rivals.
Yeah, but hey, a 3-3 away draw feels pretty good in this season. We'll take that.
Yes. Yeah, that was the game from last weekend.
I remember when we drew Sporting for the first round, the immediate reaction was, well, damn. Okay. It can go well, or it can go really, 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 really poorly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it feels great. It would feel awesome to beat them, to lose to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As the top team in the West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to trick myself that I was pumped for this matchup, that I was this perfect. This is exactly how we needed to start, what we needed for our first playoffs. Mm-hmm. In fact, in my mind, I was dreading it, just like all the players looked like they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
You kind of feel bad for them. I mean, they're going up against Peter Vermes, who's, you know, the longest tenured coach in MLS for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, they've won. I think they're tied with the most number of MLS cups. Like it was a tough road to hoe there for St. Louis.
Peter Vermes put on a masterclass on countering the high press.
He really did, and that was a tough one. Tough one to watch, tough one to experience.
We were sitting right where we are now when I threw my head all the way across the room and almost cracked that picture frame over there.
Not the St. Louis FC hat, was it?
I played the fifth.
So the game this past weekend, that was the first meeting between the two of you guys this season.
Yep. Yeah, away game in Kansas City, or away game in Kansas, I guess. It's not really in Kansas City. The St. Louis City media team.
It's in Missouri, though.
No, it's in Kansas.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Jim, because their whole thing was about how it was like they're the first team in Missouri, not, you know.
No, they're in Kansas.
No, I think they're in Missouri.
You might want to cut this part out.
Hold on, I'll Google it.
Real quick, this sounds an awful lot about.
That's the whole reason why the St. Louis refuses. St. Louis refuses to. After they beat them in the playoffs, they posted it. They called them Sporting Kansas City, but and I thought that was appropriate. Yeah, you lost. Call them by their name.
Yeah.
But they never call them Sporting Kansas City. They call them Sporting Kansas because we're a city. Kansas City's in Kansas and Missouri, mostly Missouri.
It does say Children's Mercy Park is a soccer specific stadium in Kansas City, Kansas.
No! Ooh. Oh, Mel.
I'm so sorry, Mel.
I saved my life on this. Dang. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'll think about that win for a while.
Yeah.
It was a loss for City, but a win for Jim.
Yes. No.
I kind of wish they were in Missouri, because then it would have been like us with the New York Red Bulls, because New York Red Bulls play in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Harrison, New Jersey. Beautiful Harrison, New Jersey. New Jersey. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, What's what's the name of the rivalry between St. Louis City and Kansas City?
Please.
Is that the I-70?
Well, the I-70 is what they call the Royals and Cardinals. The
Cardinals. I-70 series, yeah.
But they call the MLS rivalry the Darby Q.
That's right.
That is brilliant. It's
gorgeous.
A Darby is like the a rivalry game.
Oh, cool.
In soccer, yeah.
That's fun.
So like a Darby comes That's from, a great you know. Game. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's spelled with an E. And they call it Darby, so go figure.
Felt like Kentucky Derby, but you know we're
cute.
We can't decide how we want to pronounce if we want to go with European pronunciations.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's
the Darby Q. It's a great name, and it's caught on. And you know what? I think St. Louis has the. I will always say I think St. Louis has the better soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, if we're excluding ribs, I would bend the knee to Kansas City on barbecue.
Wow.
Brennan.
That is a bold statement.
I regret stating this now. I don't think I can show the podcast to any of my family and friends.
I was going to say, Jim, it's okay. Nobody's going to hear it. It's fine.
I don't know. Yeah.
Probably. It takes a very big man to acknowledge better barbecue, right?
Yeah.
Although, I mean, this is really between like gold and silver medal finish here. It's not like, you know,
yes.
You know,
tenths of seconds between the two. Yeah.
Yeah.
St. Louis barbecue is incredible. I will put it up against anything in Texas, and I stand by that. Charleston has some excellent barbecue.
True.
New York is not allowed to even put themselves in the conversation.
And that's why we have you on the podcast.
United in our hate for New York.
And I'll go with you too on those ribs. Absolutely. Yeah. St. Louis, your rib capital.
Yes, absolutely.
That and pork steaks.
Pork steaks.
I have to be sure to share this with my friend who's a Red Bulls fan before we have him on the pod. He'll be thrilled.
Wait, what's a pork steak?
Do you not know pork steaks? Wow.
I don't know a pork steak.
Okay. I think that's the same.
It's like toasted ravioli.
I know toasted raviolis. But
pork steaks are kind of funny because it's from a pig and
somewhere on a pig.
I was saying that and I was like, actually, I'm not sure what part of the pig.
It's probably best not to know, Mel.
Yeah.
But you just barbecue them. It's like kind of a longer piece of meat, and it's
sometimes it's like half the thickness maybe of a New York strip.
Right.
But you know, maybe a similar size. Well, maybe you guys know pork chops.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
So they're I guess they can be. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong there. They're similar to a pork chop.
It's like it's very similar to a pork chop, but it's like kind of like
here we go.
Yeah, there's a picture. It's more marbled, like it's a lot fattier and it's not quite as like good of a cut of meat. It's a very cheap cut of meat. But like barbecue pork steaks are very popular here. You just throw it on the grill and you cover it in barbecue sauce and that's all there is to it.
When I was
there you go.
Pairs well with Cardinals baseball.
Yeah. When I was growing up, my dad would always make pork steaks the night before a fishing trip. Mm. And then on the fishing trip, we'd have cold pork steak sandwiches. And those, you know, just barbecue pork steak on white bread. I don't know what it is, but it's heaven.
I would absolutely eat one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, it's from the same. It's from the shoulder of the pig, so it's the same place that you get like pork butt, when you do like a slow roasted pork shoulder or something like that. That's picture that sliced in this inch thick steaks,
and then
slow cooked.
Yeah, they're really good slow cooked, and we actually one time cooked them like a pork chop, like skillet pan seared them in the skillet, and they were. But
yeah.
I think I see a new direction for our podcast.
That's the other thing we could talk about for hours is food.
we'll have to put that behind the paywall, right?
Once we have one, yes.
Yeah. Well, this might be a good spot to transition to one of the big stories here. So congratulations, right? You guys are couple months in, newlyweds.
Congratulations.
And this story, I'm just going to let you guys take over and do the driving now. Your honeymoon. Tell this story. This is a great story.
You're in charge now.
Yeah. Well, so we planned a honeymoon, and part of this honeymoon, we were going to Lake Como in Italy. It's, you know, a lake kind of on near the border with Switzerland in the north, just at the southern edge of the Alps. And it's just a beautiful place to vacation that we have seen. And lo and behold, our striker, Nico Giochini, who got a ton of minutes and scored a ton of goals because Klaus was hurt for, you know, 3 months of our season. He ended up being transferred there. And I remember seeing that day on Twitter, you know, heading to Como. Okay, whatever. And then, like, I think it was maybe like 5 or 6 minutes later. It was not immediately. I was like, wait a minute, Como. We're going there. And I look up Como, you know, Como football, and it's like all the articles are like top 10 most beautiful stadiums in the world, most beautiful stadium in Italy. And it is truly like in the mountains of the Alps, looking over the Lake Como, right next to the Como Aero Club. So all the seaplanes are landing. You can see the seaplanes landing from the stadium.
You can see the Alps in the background. It is truly
beautiful. It is worth the trip.
Yeah,
it is worth the trip alone.
Yeah,
but we were like, okay, we're getting tickets. Obviously, this is going to be a great, great addition to the honeymoon.
And this is very, very pretty close to when we were leaving. It was only a few weeks before we left, so he was
transferred 3 weeks before we left. So we didn't know if he was going to get into any games.
Yeah,
right.
Just sharing a photo of
see if there's another angle, because you can't really even see the lake in that one, but the lake's right behind that too. There you go.
Well, it's kind of a aerial shot.
And then mountains are behind it. It's really, really cool.
There's like a whole marina just off the one side of the stadium.
Oh, truly. Yeah. It's like we walked in between that and the stadium, and it's like the width of, you know, one lane.
Yeah.
Imagine, and it's not even the width of the soccer field there.
Yeah.
No, not even half.
You could, like, how awesome would, like, take a boat across Lake Como to go see a soccer game? Like, well, that's gotta be the pinnacle.
I'll tell you what, it's like one of their main public transportations is a few ferries they run around the lake for all the main cities or all the main towns. And the day before the game, we were staying kind of in a smaller town, a little higher up in elevation, where we were doing some trekking and hiking.
What's the name of it?
We were in Prileto, and the main town below Prileto was called Verena, right across the lake from Bellagio. And so we took the ferry, and it bounced along down the lake, hitting all the towns, and finally landed in Como, where you could see the soccer stadium as you're like pulling up to the marina, which is really cool.
Really, really small towns.
Yeah, very small towns. Very, like, the one we stayed in had a population of 900.
Wow.
Much, much, much larger than that.
Yeah.
But so a few days before, we tried, you know, maybe DMing Nico on Instagram. Maybe we didn't. I don't remember. They weren't responded to for some reason. Probably just focused on his career and not on social media. But I did email the media director or the marketing director that was, you know, they had their email on their official website, and really not too far ahead of time, just a few days before, saying, hey, we've got, I think I said it like, we want to make sure it's okay if we wear our city gear and bring a city flag. But what I was really hunting for, you know, like, hey, you've got your St. Louis fans here. Do you want to do anything cool with them?
Or like, here's a free scarf. Like, we'd take a scarf too.
Because since Nico had transferred on their Twitter account, they've been, you know, very much marketing to their new American audience and saying game time was in St. Louis. And it's kind of fun. They post like the game times in São Paulo, London, St. Louis, every game now.
And nice. I think the other thing that is important to the story, though, why this player who was, I mean, he's 23 years old. He's a young guy. He only played for us for one season and not for the whole season at that. I mean, he was certainly not starting every game. But because we were starting from scratch, it was like we clung to all of these players like they were the only, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they all felt so special to us. So to even have one leave, we were like, oh, my God, we're losing Nico Giochini.
He's a part of our
history now. Yeah, it's a big deal. And so it was so funny to see all this interaction between Como and St. Louis right off the bat, because we were all watching him just start with them and cheering for him in an entirely different soccer world. So it was a cool feeling. And so that's also why we were like, oh, we'll reach out and see if anything comes of it.
Absolutely. So did they get back to you, or when did they get back to you, or is it?
Yeah. So a few days before the game, I think I maybe emailed them like 3 or 4 days before the game. And then like the next day, I think they had Julia, their director, had emailed me back. And then their, you know, social media guy had messaged me on Instagram and was like, hey, text me on WhatsApp. Let's meet at this bar. And they took us to the old pub.
So let's set the scene there, though. So this club was started in 1907. I don't want to make the claim that the stadium was built then, but it kind of might. It seems like it could have been. It's older. Coming from a brand new soccer stadium.
Sure.
Like there's a couple sections of it that are closed off, you know, because they're not accessible at the moment and
unsafe for seats.
Yeah. Nonetheless, a very fun environment, whatnot, and obviously beautiful all around it, and whatnot. But yeah, so there's this really long standing club, over 100 years old, and so it has this little pub that's connected to the stadium, and it looks like a gas station. Truly, it's teeny tiny. We walked past it during the day because we were like, I think that's where we're meeting them later. We wanted to check it out, right. And we're both like, is that the bar?
Shoulder to shoulder, if you cram people in, you might get 25 people.
Wow. I mean, teeny.
Maybe.
Okay.
And so we show up on game day and it is just buzzing. I mean, people the all over
street,
the streets.
The whole street.
And basically people just go in there to buy their beer and then they go hang out on the street. And you just like cycle in and out through this. So it was
just for the effect here, Lemmy, you had sent some of the videos here. All right. This is
my God. Yeah, and you can see this guy wagging his finger at me at the end of it. It's so funny. He was like, don't you take a video of me.
It was intense. The smoke bombs. They're all the, you know, the supporters are very intimidating. They're all dressed the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
Guess is, so if that's maybe more tradition now, but my guess is, you know, if any of them get into trouble, it's harder to identify which one is which.
But you don't say the thing, you just do it.
Right. But it was so cool. Yeah. That could, because we were in the bar, we were in the pub, grabbed a couple beers, and their media team interviewed us, you know, right on the marina there where we were looking at that picture. So we're like 2 feet from the water.
So how did you guys connect up with them?
Yeah. So they had reached out to Jim on WhatsApp to grab a beer and just talk. And then when we got there, they were like, would you guys want to do like a small interview for social media, whatever? And we'll take some photos. And we're like, yeah, sure. That sounds fun. And so, yeah, we did. I don't know about how long it took, but they asked us a variety of questions and just recorded it. I don't think did they take a video of it?
No, they just recorded it. Yeah. And, you know, they published it on their Instagram, but
and so that was part of,
that's why we seem so polished right now, is because this is not our first interview.
Hey, we know where we stand. Yeah. It's Como FC and then a more Philly Union. That's all right. We'll get there.
But yeah, so after, you know, the interview, they, you know, they told us a lot about their club history. They're making a huge push to get to Serie A, They're in Serie B in Italy right now. And they that's why they signed Nico. They made a lot of signings this offseason. And it just so happened the game we were seeing was against Venice and was against, they were number two on the table and Venice was, they were number three on the table and Venice was number two.
Oh, wow.
And in the Italian league, the top two get promoted and then three through eight go into a playoff.
Okay.
And when you're in the playoff with three through eight, it's pretty much a crapshoot. So they're really gunning for one of those top two spots. So it just so happened to be a really, really important game for their season. And it was so fun. Everyone was into it. People were like living and dying with every goal around us. And we were just like, this is fun.
Meanwhile, yeah, and we were just having the time of our lives. So it was a blast. And the PR people were following us around as if we were celebrities. It was as close as I will ever feel like a celebrity. And it was hilarious. So funny. They're like sneaking through the people to like get a photo of us. And they're like, kiss, or like do something. Like,
stuff. And we're like trying our best to not piss anybody off around us.
Yeah, we're screaming. Like, it was really funny. And it was a couple young guys that ran their, I mean, it was so definitely a social media type thing. And it was a couple young guys that ran that. And you could tell they were just trying to get good content and good clips and stuff like that. But it was really funny.
And the game ended up being a 2-1 victory for Como on a 90th minute volley. 90th minute volley from their hometown hero who's never played for Como but grew up in Como and has come back to return to play for them for his final professional season.
No way.
Yeah, Catrone. He was in the Premier League for a bit. But
oh my gosh.
And so they were, and this was his first game of the season playing because he'd been hurt. So even before even before the game, these people were like yelling this guy's name and he subbed in at like the 80th minute.
Yeah, so it was
the 75th minute.
It was like the 75th minute and we had been watching Giochini warm up and we were like, ooh, is he gonna go in? You know, we're all excited, and then this hometown guy stands up to start warming up and the crowd went wild.
He just stood up to warm up.
Just to warm up. We're like, okay. Yeah. Something's happening.
Yeah.
That goal was great. We had a great view of it. It was a cross into the box from, I don't know. No, it wasn't the corner. It was from maybe 40 yards out. It was from very far out and he was on the 6-yard box in midair volley. The ball was, you know, 4 feet off the ground when he hit it. So he just like, it was a rocket straight into the roof point blank, basically. And the place erupted. People are running out of their seats. You know, it's like a caged arena. Yeah. It's not like in the MLS. Like you can't get in there if you tried.
Yeah.
Right.
Like flooding out of the seats and like banging on the wall. And he's getting like carried off the field. And we're like, every game like this. So we caught a good one.
Yeah, we definitely did.
And then they told us to find them after the game for a surprise if you want to tell them.
Yeah. So they told us to find them after the game. They had a surprise for us, which we weren't really sure what they were up to, but if it involved Giochini, we would have been pretty excited, and if not, it still would have been fun to do. So they took us to this little room kind of below or behind the stadium, still connected, and it was kind of just like a big green space, AstroTurf, and
nothing too special, but definitely like it was a private event.
Yeah, it was their private space, and so they had like a bar and a bunch of foosball tables, and they told us that it was a signing for one of their players. It was like private signing that you could, I think, have like bought a ticket to or something like that.
There was only like 30 people there, but it was like for one of the center backs or something.
Yeah. But it was really neat because we got to talk with this PR team for a long time. And just kind of swap stories about what it's like to be a team that's been around for so long and what it's like to be a team that just had their first year, and just the similarities, differences in our leagues and all that kind of stuff. It was just like, it was really great conversation. We had a lot of fun just talking soccer with them.
The unlimited champagne helped.
Yeah, a lot of champagne. Yeah. But it felt so comfortable in a foreign country too. You know, it's just really an enjoyable experience. We at one point we were like, well, we had bought a Como scarf and stuff, and we were like, well, I guess we'll go get it signed by this guy. We don't know who he is. He could be our star player, and we still wouldn't know who he was. You know. And so we're like, oh, you know, we're here. And so we walk up and we're like, hi, you know. And he was like, are you guys the Americans? We were like, yeah. And he was like, oh, you're here for Nico. And we're like, yeah. And he was like, and then he like yelled to someone else and was like, hey, go see if Giochini will come down or something like that. And so he signed our scarf and we, you want to take over the rest of the story?
Yeah. So, I think he saw us when we were warm. When they were warming up, we were being plenty obnoxious with our St. Louis City flag. And, Nico gave us the nod and the wave and acknowledgement. We got our scarf signed, and you know, waited around for a few more minutes, and Nico came in the room, and it was really cool. They were taking pictures and made a little video of it that they posted, and City SC also posted it on their Instagram account.
Nice.
So that was cool to get a bunch of our friends saying, wow, you're famous.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was so nice. He chatted with us for like 20 minutes down here.
Wow.
And we, you know, just obviously told him how much St. Louis still loves him.
Mm-hmm.
He's already got his plans. He's already got his trip booked to come back when their season ends this summer.
Nice.
And just like talking about, you know, what it's like to be in a new city. He is of Italian heritage, but he hasn't really lived in Italy much of his adult life. And it was kind of, we felt like we were meeting a celebrity or, a professional athlete. But he also talked about like, it's kind of hard to get settled. He's 23 years old. He doesn't know anybody in this city and really anyone in this area of the country.
And he just came off of a year or more of like a very high of like community team an exciting year, and to then kind of come and, you know, he didn't even get into the game. And so I'm sure it's like a little bit of an adjustment there. And you could even sense that in our conversation. Like, I think he felt like we were, I don't know, in some way akin to him, which was a pretty cool feeling, you know. I'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it was such a blast to just talk about the first year, and we were like, yeah, you hear all those crazy fans yelling at you. Yeah, that was us.
It's really fun. We follow him on Instagram, and he will post at whatever wee hours at night. He'll post him watching the City games now.
That's awesome.
In Como.
Yeah.
God, love him.
And it was fun too. We, City... Yeah, so right when it happened, there was a little bit of stuff on Twitter and like Instagram stories and such, and so that was fun just to see our face on like an official page.
Oh yeah,
the heck, that's absolutely cool.
Yeah.
And we weren't even sure if anything what would really come of the like little interview thing they did. And then lo and behold, I think it was just last week or the week before, I'm like walking into work on a Tuesday, and Jim's like, Como posted the video of us. And we were both like, oh my gosh, what's it gonna be? And then they posted it with City, and so it was on their page, and it was like reliving it all over again.
That's so cool, it was really awesome.
Yeah, once in a lifetime experience for sure.
Absolutely.
But couldn't have planned it like that if we tried. Just one of those serendipitous things.
Absolutely.
I think Christy, you showed me the video, from Como that they posted of you guys, and man, it's for real. I mean, that is just like full blown. Legit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is legit. We were like, we'll keep this video forever and remember it. It's really well produced and so special.
Yeah.
I guess we can even ask you guys, if you have anything you want to plug? You're like, yeah, go check out FC Como. You can see our video up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hashtag Como St. Louis.
I do have a question for our podcasters here. Are there, I was, do you guys have a, I imagine you have a pretty good sense of the podcast scene for Philly Union. Like, does the team have an official podcast? Are there a number of podcasts by, you know, fans or, you know, radio hosts around town? Because St. Louis, you know, has a good mix of both. The team actually publishes their own podcast, The City Voice, where they do an in-depth interview with, you know, people from Joel Klaus, our premier striker, to Lutz Vandenstiel, the sporting director, to the head groundskeeper and stuff.
Really?
And that's super interesting. So I want to know, like, what's the podcast scene like over in Philly?
Paul and Christy?
Well, the team just started a sort of more of a video series slash podcast that they're running through the players, having them on each week. But the Sons of Ben, that's our official supporter group. We have one. I mean, there are the variations, SOBs, but there's one. SOBs, get it. They have their own podcast, which I think is, I'm not sure how recent that is. That might be kind of recent, but there are a number of other fan, what I think of as fan casts, mm-hmm. too. So yeah, it's probably more that than actually radio coverage, although I can't really speak to true sports radio. But
I think like Philly Soccer Now has a podcast, but most of them are fan casts. You're right. Like the club itself used to run a podcast, but then they kind of let it fall for a while. There, the coaches' post game press conferences they would put out as a podcast, but that's kind of stopped. Now everything's just video. They do a good job with the social media from the team directly. But as far as the podcast area, I mean, you'll find, you know, like I imagine. It actually kind of sounds like you might see more of them for St. Louis City than for the Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with the newness of the team. As everyone, there's like some people
full head of steam.
There's a opportunity. Like, there's not a lot of podcasts out there, so go ahead and give it a shot and if it's something you like or if it catches on. And it's kind of fun to, you know you guys that have a podcast for your team. And think of, you know, someone like you that's doing this for City that I just happened to stumble upon and listen one day. It's really cool to, like, you know, have these, you know, grassroots media forms that are so
absolutely
easy
to find.
I don't know if St. Louis has something like this, but Philly Union actually has it's not affiliated with the team, but they have if you ever look up phillysoccerpage.net, it's completely fan supported media following and news reporting on the team. That's all sponsored and paid for by fans of this website. And like the level of discussion in the comments it's not typical sports radio comments. I mean, they're making in-depth analyses of the movement on the field and the players' performances. And, you know, there's people there that show up just in the comments that you know, they're known just by everybody else in the comment. Oh, well, you know, El Pachyderm saying something or, you know, whatever. You know, there's a bunch of them that when they chime in, you hear it. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat.
Well, and real quick, a thanks to them because they actually retweeted our last post about the last episode we did. So thank you.
And that's kind of the fun thing too. Like, you know, we just started this as a kind of a labor of love.
Talk about the Philly Union once a week.
Yeah, I mean, we are doing that anyway.
Yeah, so might as well just do it for 13 years. So
subject everybody else to it.
Yeah,
get a couple of you know, microphones and set it up.
Yeah,
It's a great way to consume some sports radio though without actually listening to it, because I would love to listen to like a rehash of, and what I've heard from the little bits I've heard is that it's like a little bit of a rehash of the game, and like I love to live through that again and hear someone else's analysis of it, because I I don't know what to draw from it quite yet. And I like to learn from that sort of thing.
Do you guys notice, any difference in viewership off of, does it get better when the games are worse, or does it get better when the games are better? Because I'm sure there's plenty of people that tune in to say, hey, are they going to tear them apart? Because this was a poor performance.
That's a good question.
I know there are certain podcast episodes that are easier to record.
Yes.
When we're feeling
more excited, easier to hit play and start.
Yeah.
There was a stretch there last year where you could definitely feel the energy was a little low from the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've had one or two Paul Rage casts, which were fun. Because you really just sit back and he has the floor at that point.
Yeah.
As you can tell, Chrissy just likes to wind me up from time to time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's my job.
Right.
You all play a role.
So no, I don't know that we've noticed that kind of difference. I think it's I'm not sure if we. It's a good question. We're gonna start noting that.
It sounds like you've got loyal listeners then.
We do have some people who comment regularly always check us out. So
yeah, that's been one of the interesting things, connecting with other people out there. Some infrequently, some whatever, but I also
feel like this second season we're starting to pick up a little more consistency in the number of downloads, and it just takes a while. In a sports town like Philadelphia, which has, five major sports teams in it, and soccer being the least viewed of those five sports, you're kind of fighting for the eyes and the ears. And, it takes a while. It's going to take a while to gather, but it's okay. As long as they're willing to listen to us, ramble on about the game and the team, we'll do it.
I will say that was one of the reasons I think St. Louis City also popped off so much in St. Louis, is that the Blues had a down year. Their first year missing the playoffs since the Stanley Cup. The Cardinals had their worst year in maybe 20 years.
Wow.
And if Cardinals aren't worth watching, the Blues aren't worth watching. They kind of picked the perfect year to start a new club in St. Louis over the summer, because that's what everyone was paying attention to, because that's who was winning. And, they took advantage of it and rode the wave and just had an unbelievably hot start and cruised to first in the West. And it's kind of, championships are very much an American thing, championships. So it's definitely disappointing to see how we finish, just not really showing up to the first round, getting outclassed a bit maybe from the coach. But it is cool to see that there's a lot of respect put on the, the regular season win in the West, because that seems like from a lot around the league. From teams, organizations, and fans alike, that's a little bit more respected than some other sports in America.
And I mean, reputation wise, the St. Louis fans are around the country, they're much more polite. Like you hear about Philadelphia sports fans, and what you're getting at. Those stories. Like
we're the best fans in baseball. We might be the best fans in soccer too.
I highly doubt that your fans are ever going to burn an effigy of your sporting director outside of your stadium.
Oh, my Lord.
And yes, that happened for the Philadelphia Union.
What did they have batteries in their pockets too?
Well, it's funny that you.
No, but did they pelt Santa Claus later that day?
I was going to say, if the Union ever come to St. Louis and, play you guys and you have your song for Klaus, the whole Santa Klaus, it's going to be too close to the mark.
Yeah. They're not going to get it.
Yeah.
I remember the very first season we took your, with a bunch of people, but we took your Uncle Kenny
That's
to
right.
uh, to the a game, and I asked him afterwards what he thought. He's like, "Oh, it was a lot of fun. I could have done with less cursing." It's yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, especially the early days were a little bit more unhinged. I think they've reined it in a little since then.
Yeah.
But you know, when Nate, Paul's son Nate, was small, we had to chant over a lot of chants. Yeah, make up kid friendly things to say so we pick up words too early.
We try to be aware of who's around us. Yeah. Usually the supporter section is a mostly adult crew, but there's definitely times, and they're very welcome to bring their families, and yes. You know, I'll be like, oh, you know what, maybe need to change some lyrics here
real quick,
chance, because there's a couple 12-year-olds in front of us with dad.
Yeah. It was cute because we did take him, he was a little bit older but still quite young. We took him to a playoff game in New Jersey against the Red Bulls, and we were with the Philly fans, and they spotted that there was a youngster with us, and the people around us started changing the chants too, was which class. Was very very sweet.
Yeah, it seems like there's lots of community in the in the MLS.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Just don't wear red to our stadium and you're good.
Yeah.
They literally will make you change your shirt if you wear red and to the supporter section.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's here too. Yeah, the supporter section has strict dress code. When they hosted Miami, unfortunately, it was the game before Messi arrived. It would have been great to see Messi.
That would have been his first game. We thought we were going to catch him, and he started the following there in their next game.
Yeah, but they sent out a public notice that no Messi jerseys of any kind will be tolerated in sports.
So I don't remember exactly where it fell in the timeline, but Philly was playing in Miami, and there was Messi wasn't playing, and there was a guy in the crowd who had a sign set up, held up, I flew 1,200 miles for this game.
I don't know what fans like that, because that just sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does suck.
Before I forget, there's a couple other things just about the St. Louis fans. And you guys will see if we draw Philly at home next year and you come in for the game.
Mm-hmm.
But what was really fun in the first year, and it's continued from what I've seen, except for maybe for some of the more expensive seats, is the entire lower bowl stands up for the entire game.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
Front row to back row, people are standing. It's not only the supporter section, our seats are up. There's no, it's general admission standing only.
Mm-hmm.
But for every game last year and for the games we've been to this year, the entire bowl stands, which is really fun.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like there are some sections I think that kind of sit, but
yeah.
There's the majority of that bottom bowl that stands, and it, at least for all of last season, we were like, there's no difference between our seats right now because no one else is sitting. It doesn't matter if you're standing or sitting, or everyone's standing.
Yeah.
You guys just paid less than they did.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe have a little bit of higher risk of tinnitus.
So we have an official question for our podcast guests, which you guys are the second and third. You can fight over who's second and who's third. But usually we would say, what song reminds you of the Union? But in your case, what song reminds you of, it can be St. Louis City, it can be soccer. I ask this because we have a playlist that goes along with our podcast, so we'd like to add the song to our playlist. So no pressure.
Ooh. Mel's thinking.
I have two answers.
Right.
I feel like there's one obvious one for both of us.
Yeah, I have one, but I feel like you're going to say it.
I have one from my childhood that's just soccer.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Pick them both,
Say your answers, yeah.
The Cranberries is the obvious one for me that comes, the Berkey song that we were talking
about. Right,
Zombie.
Okay.
zombie. Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah. I figured that's what you would have said too. But when I think of soccer practice growing up, the song that instantly comes to mind because it was always blaring on someone's speaker was
Wannabe by Spice Girls.
Right after that was
you're about 5.5 years off, Paul. Yeah, just a bit.
Eye of the Tiger was like that's what when I think of soccer and like soccer is growing up for me, I think of Eye of the Tiger. Great. That's our warm-up song.
Which appropriately enough was used in the movie Rocky 3. So it's come full circle.
Yep. Okay. Options. I like this.
Well, actually, I have one question because you are marveling at your virtual Zoom background of the city and the Philadelphia logo. What is the significance of the snake in the Philly Union's logo?
If we get this wrong, we're kicked out. So,
one of the flags of the American Revolution was a snake cut into 13 pieces with the words "Join or Die" at the bottom of it. So the Union, in hearkening back to Philadelphia's heritage, has used this snake symbol. I don't remember if this one in particular is from directly related to Ben Franklin or not, one of the city founders or one of the founding fathers of but yeah, that's where it all comes from.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering, that makes sense.
That's also why there's 13 stars on the Philadelphia Union logo. It's not because of we've won 13 championships, but someday
we're getting there. You're right. It was Benjamin Franklin, for what it's worth, according to the National Constitution Center. Just to make sure it's not Joe's America blog or anything like that.
So we've talked, I think we talked recently about the Philadelphia Union's colors on their crest. Mm-hmm. Where do the colors come for city?
Yeah, it's funny. So the color is called Hot Red, right? Is that its official name? No?
They're calling it City Red.
City Red, but it's like a hot red. And it was a little controversial in the beginning because it definitely has like pink undertones.
Yeah. A lot of guys with big trucks were saying, I don't want a team that's pink. But I think it's a really cool color, actually. And it comes off a little more red than their initial release was. Their initial release was a little more hot pink. I don't really know if there's a significance to the colors, honestly, other than the blue being like the blue of the Mississippi. But with the crest, you see the arch there, obviously representative of St. Louis, but also the stripes represent the confluence of the Missouri and the Mississippi, the confluence of the Missouri and the Mississippi is right north of St. Louis, the two longest rivers in the United States. And it's a big heritage site for St. Louis. And they worked it into the crest there.
Very cool. I think I've heard them referred to as like a watermelon was the color.
I think that was me.
Was that you? I thought I could have sworn I heard.
I don't know. Maybe.
I've never heard that, and it sounds like so right. Yeah. It looks like
the actual color of like a really ripe watermelon.
Exactly.
That would be like the J. Crew interpretation of that color.
I could
see someone with both of these colors on a polo, both collars popped.
100%.
But we have a new away jerseys, new away kits this year, and they're white and like a light gray, and it looks like a fingerprint is on it.
It's like a current kind.
And every jersey is unique.
Really?
It's a unique print on every single jersey, like a fingerprint is unique sort of idea.
I think that's what they wore this past weekend when they upset Kansas City.
Wow.
And in the stadium, right? Don't you guys have a lot of this colored lighting in the stadium too? I feel like when there's a goal or something like that, it just explodes with this color.
Yeah,
they've got the red. They've got the red LEDs. And actually, one of the coolest things, if if you guys come to a stadium, is the player intros, especially for some bigger games, but they do it a lot, is they have all the lights out except for a spotlight on the player entrance. And, you know, they've got the supporter section drum banging, and there's the STL chant, STL. And it just, the entire crowd, you know, chants STL over and over again. The red lights come on, illuminate the field. The players come out and the players come out and like no cheering, just continuing the chant. It kind of, it gives the chills every time.
Wow.
And then the chant stops, there's the anthem, and then the game gets ready to go.
That's cool.
Wow, that's very, almost theatrical. Just
it really is. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. They don't do it for every game, and you know, but it's fun that, you know, they keep some of it for some of the big games.
Yeah, it does feel like such a luxury to have a new stadium. I mean, it is so state of the art and sleek, and every time I'm there, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is our stadium. Like it's cool. And it just seems like they did everything really, really well. It's just really very technological, and it's cool.
Yeah, and very in tune with the fans in the city. And yeah, like we've said a few times, it's just the organization from top to bottom seems like they've made all the right decisions, and that they take a lot of people's opinions and thoughts and into consideration. They're a zero waste stadium. There's every thing you could think of that they've considered for, you know, fans with, you know, whether it's, you know, hearing disabilities or just the community, just there's constant communication. It feels with every match, like what could we update? And you get a notification on your app, like, hey, next time you come to the stadium, let us know, what would you like to see? Stuff like that. That it's like, I'm sure a lot of teams, you know, are openly take suggestions, but they seem to go out of their way to really communicate with everybody that's interested in and has learned to love City.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, and the food is great. They selected like a bunch of like local food vendors just to have little pop-up shops. And I mean, everywhere from like an iconic hill Italian restaurant.
Oh yeah.
That makes their toasted ravioli there, to like a random food truck we only see at the farmer's market has a stand there. It's like such a diversity.
All the food is type all of the food. Is, it's all local restaurants and local business owners.
It's like we'll go early to save our spot in the supporter section, and then we'll have a meal there because there's so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't do that for everyone. Cool. It's a little expensive.
I have to ask, do they serve muscatoli at the stadium?
I have not seen muscatoli.
Not too often you see pasta dishes at sporting events. Yeah. Although probably at Como.
Yeah.
But they would never have as much sauce at Como as we would here in the States.
Well, guys, thank you again for doing this interview. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can talk again soon in the future. Better yet, hopefully we're going to be sitting in each other's arenas watching some games. So, thanks for listening to another episode of A More Philly Union. We are your hosts. I'm E.
I'm C.
I'm Paul.
I'm Mel.
And I'm Jim. Go Union!
I was waiting for you to do it.
I wanted to see if you would if I didn't.
It's not like we need someone to volunteer and everyone just step backwards.
Yeah.
Well, this was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this was a blast.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.